All right, get your Bibles out this morning. Let's get ready to get into this Word. Father, we just thank you that your Word is anointed. It is alive. It's powerful. And God, I thank you that we have spirits to receive your Word this morning. And God, I just thank you for what you're teaching us concerning your Spirit. Father, what an incredible blessing. What an incredible promise. What an incredible gift, your Spirit in our life. Now, Father, I pray for every person that's in this room this morning, God, that they will receive your Word. And God, it will just touch their life. And God, it will change their life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. John chapter 14, verse 16, the first point there on your handout this morning, I want us to look at something. We've been talking about living life on full, being filled with the Spirit. Living life full, on full, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And in John 14, 16, Jesus said to his disciples and to us, he said, I will pray to the Father. I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another helper. That he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But Jesus said, you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, but if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We just sang that song this morning about the resurrected King resurrecting me from these ashes of defeat. Will be resurrected by the King, by his Spirit. Now, Jesus made a statement in John. He said, I will pray to the Father, and he will send another helper. He'll send another helper. He said, the world doesn't know him. The world doesn't know him, but you know him. Why? How is it that they knew him? Because Jesus said, he lives with you. He abides with you. But then he made a statement that changes everything. It's a game changer. What was the statement that Jesus said next that changed the game? He said, not only will he abide with you, he will what? Live in you. He will live in you. Not just abide with you, but will live on the inside of you. It's a game changer. It says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. This is making the residence of the Spirit of God on the earth. Where does he reside? Where does he live? Jesus said he abides with you, but he's going to be in you. Paul said this. Paul said that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That we are his dwelling place. This changes everything. That God's Spirit doesn't just abide with us, but God's Spirit will dwell in us, live on the inside of us. Now think about this for a moment. If he abides with you or if he's around you, that's one thing. I mean, Jesus promised that he'd never leave us, he'd never forsake us. But to make that a rock solid deal, well, the promise of the Father isn't that he would live among us or live and abide with us. The promise is that he would dwell or live in us. So if I'm here, where's he? In me. With me. Come on, right? And if I'm here, where is he? In me. And if I'm Monday at work, where is he? In me. And if I'm later on today, I'm somewhere, where is he? He's in me. So everywhere I am, he is. It changes everything. Jesus said that not only will he abide with you, the Spirit of God will dwell in you. Dwell in you. Now this morning we're going to look at some things concerning that truth. To where I believe we need to change our thinking. Because I believe so many times we look for God to do something outside of us. We're always looking for our help to come from outside. When the Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, dwells in you. So number one on your handout this morning, it says the Holy Spirit will be in us. Not just abide with us, but will be what? In us. Number two on your handout this morning, look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory of the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Number two, God is able to do. That's what Paul said there. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that what? That works or dwells in you. God is able to do according to the power that works in you. Where's the power at? In us. Where's the Holy Spirit live? In us. Jesus said, you'll know the Holy Spirit because he dwells with you, but he will what? Be in you. Paul said this way, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Number three, in John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus said, on that last day, the great day of the feast, he stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. We sang that song this morning, didn't we? That the rivers would what? Of life would what? Would spring up what? How's the song go? Spring up, oh well. Where? Within my soul. Spring up, oh well. What? Within me. He said that out of their innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Number three, the rivers of living water will flow out of our innermost being. Out of your innermost being, out of my innermost being. The Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Jesus said, the Spirit lives among you. He lives with you. But he's going to what? Be in you. That's a game changer. Yes. It's a game changer that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God who raised Christ from the dead, resides on the inside of you. That his dwelling place in the earth, his chosen, his desire is not to live among us. His desire is to live in us. And Paul said this, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine or think. He can do that. But it's according to what? What did we just read over there in Ephesians chapter 3? God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. The power that works in us. God began to, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. He said, you got to change the way you see or you think of things. He said, you see as your answer coming either down from heaven are coming from somewhere out here. He said, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Wherever you are, there is a power working in you. Wherever you are, there are rivers of living water that want to flow out of you. We're always looking out here. I believe Paul tapped into this concerning his life. Paul said he learned how to be content in every situation, in every circumstance. Paul said, I've learned how to be content. I've learned how to have nothing. And I've also learned how to have everything. In ministry, it's been where I've had to believe for food for the day. And there's been times in the ministry where all my needs have been met. But Paul said, I have learned how to be content in every situation. It's because Paul didn't live his life based upon the circumstance or the situation or what was going on around him. Paul lived his life on full. Paul said this, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. So think about this for a moment. If we look at Paul's life and he's over here in a situation where he has nothing, he lacks everything, he still has the Spirit of the living God on the inside of him. Or if he's over here where he's got everything, he still has the Spirit of the living God on the inside of him. So no matter what situation he's in, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is a way that we can tap into and live life to where we become so conscious of what we have on the inside of us that no matter what's going on around us, we don't change. You've heard the example of the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. I'll never forget when Tony Cook taught this at Rhema. I mean, this is, 30-some years ago. 30-some years ago, he taught us in class. He said, we're called to be thermostats, not thermometers. And I was like, what? He goes, the thermometer goes up and down with the outside circumstances. If it's 32 degrees, it goes down. If it's 65 degrees, it goes up. If it's 75, we'll just keep going up right now, right? 72 degrees, it goes up. And it can go back down. In Ohio, it can be 60-some degrees one day and 20-some degrees the next day. Come on, that's going up and down, right? But he said, we're not called to be that. We're not called to be a thermometer in this world. We're not called to go up and down with everything that's going on. He said, we're called to be a thermostat. What a thermostat does is you determine the temperature. And the outside temperature does work on it, but it doesn't change it. When the outside temperature either goes up or down, that setting that you're set on kicks on the furnace or the air conditioner, and it maintains the same temperature. He said, we're called to be thermostats, to live from the inside and not from the outside. And Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. To where we can live not based upon whether we lack everything or whether we have everything, it's still the same. Because our source is God. If we're in a situation where we lack everything, God still is faithful. If we're in a position where we have to believe God for everything that we need that day, God is still faithful. He will bring every need met. If we're over here to where we're not in that situation where we have enough to take care of the day, God is still the one who supplied that. Paul said, I can live in every situation, not because of what's going on around me, but because of who's on the inside of me. It's a game changer that God said, I'm going to put my Spirit inside you. I'm going to put my Spirit inside you. Out of your innermost being, Scripture says, shall flow rivers of living water. Number four, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not from us. Did you notice what Paul just said there? That the excellence of the power may be of who? Of God and not from us. Number four, the power is in us, but is not from us. The power in us is of God. The power is in us, but is not from us. The power in us is of God. Paul said again, we have this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not from us. Last Sunday, early last Sunday morning, I was awakened, and I was sitting there just getting ready and meditating in the morning and just speaking to the Holy Spirit. And literally, it was just running all kinds of things, just meditating on all kinds of different things about the Holy Spirit, all the amazing and incredible things that He does. I mean, you have the gifts of the Spirit. You have the fruits of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all those incredible things, the healings, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit of Nazareth, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power who went about doing good, how the Holy Spirit wants to do good in our life and wants to do good through our life. And I was just meditating on all those things, and it was almost overwhelming, and I was just communing and fellowshipping with Him, and I said, how can I teach about You when it seems like everything is connected? I mean, everything we see is connected to You. You're involved in everything. You were there in Genesis. You were there when Jesus was baptized. You were there when Jesus was conceived. He says that you will be conceived. The Holy Spirit, you were there when Mary conceived Jesus. You were there when He was baptized. You were there when He was dedicated. I mean, you were there when He hung on the cross. You were there when He rose again. I mean, you're connected everywhere. And the answer that I received was, don't teach them about Me, but introduce them to Me. Introduce them to Me. And so that, when he said that, my next question was, how? How can we know You? See, it's one thing to know that He lives on the inside of us, but how do we have a relationship with Him? How do we have a relationship with that power that's on the inside of us? Because it can be in you, and if you don't know Him, you won't know if He's speaking to you. You won't know if he's leading you. You won't know if He's guiding you. How do we know that one that lives on the inside of us is not just a power? He's not just a power. He's a person. He's a person. He's a part of the Godhead. Just like the Father's a person, just like Jesus is a person, the Holy Spirit's a person, and He lives on the inside of each one of us. How do I develop a relationship with Him? How do I introduce Him to me? I want to know Him. Someone that you may not know much, some of you may know, some of you may not know, but she was a female minister back in the day, and she was in healing revivals like that, Catherine Coleman. She was on television, that type of thing. But she always talked about how the Holy Spirit was her best friend. How the Holy Spirit was her best friend. How do we get to know Him as a friend? You know, I searched on Google. I said, okay, I searched the heart of God, heart of the Father. There was all kinds of information. The heart of Jesus, there was all kinds of information. Heart of the Holy Spirit, there was none. I said, I want to know Your heart, Holy Spirit. I searched heart of the Father, all kinds of information. Heart of the Son, Jesus, all kinds of information. Show me the heart of the Holy Spirit. There was none. How can we come into relationship with someone? How do we know Him? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. He said, you will know them by their fruit. That's the scripture that rose up inside of me as I was sitting there meditating and sitting there thinking and thinking about, how can I know the Holy Spirit? Who is He? He said, you'll know them by their fruit. Number five, we can know them or know someone by their fruit, Jesus said. That's a truth. Come on, right? You can know somebody around here by their fruit. And I use this as an example over and over and over because it's a good example, but just the other day I came in and JD was here and I walked in and he had, guess what he had in his hand? He was over in this area right here over by the basketball goal. Guess what he had in his hand? Guess what he didn't have in his hand? Basketball. He didn't have basketball in his hand. He was sitting right over here. He had a plane made out of Legos. And I said, what you got there, JD? And he said, it's a plane I made. I said, what kind of plane is it? He goes, oh, well, it's just one I made. I said, well, it kind of looks like this. He goes, yeah, it kind of looks a little bit like this here, and it kind of looks a little bit like this here, kind of looks a little bit like that there. If I want to know JD, then I want to know what his interest is. Come on, right? And that's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you will know them by their fruit. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Word goes on and says, against there is such no law. Number six, the heart of the Holy Spirit is revealed to us by his fruit. Jesus said you'll know someone by their fruit. Now I want you to see something here in number seven. In verse 22 it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. The fruit of the Spirit. I give you a definition there, and there's nothing to fill out. I just want to read it to you. It says the fruit of something is what it produces. Like the apples on apple trees, grapes on a grapevine. And when I found this definition online, in one of the dictionaries online, this is exactly what it said. The fruit of something is what it produces, like the apples on apple trees, grapes on a grapevine, or the fruit of your labor. The fruit of your labor. And I started to meditate on that, and I thought, that's not correct. We talked about this a little bit Wednesday night. The fruit of something is what it produces. It's the fruit of. Notice what it says in Galatians chapter 5. I know that I'm pointing out a really small word there, but it's an important word. It says it's the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say it's the fruit by the Spirit. Now let me explain that to you. Okay? And I used this example Wednesday night. Up on the wall there, that wood hanging there, I've loved you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3. That wood thing right there, the cross, that is the fruit, according to that definition, that is the fruit of my labor. Okay? What I mean is, as I cut the wood, I nailed the wood together, I stained the wood, I put the hooks on it, I put it up there on the wall, I cut the vinyl letters out, put that up there. That's the fruit of my labor, according to that definition. But that is not my fruit. That's something that's by me. It's not of me. There's a difference. The gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, those things are by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is of the Spirit. Now, there's a difference. It's not the fruit of my labor, because that's my labor. That's by me. It's not of me. I mean, I'm not sure what kind of wood that is, but that's not. Come on, right? It's something that I did. Now, if you want to see the fruit of me, then you can look at Destiny and Elijah. Come on, right? If you want to see, just like an apple tree produces apples, that's of something. The Bible says that it is the fruit of the Spirit. Just like the Bible says God is love, it's not the fruit by the Spirit. See, we've been thinking that love, joy, peace, all those things that is mentioned there, that we have to produce that, and basically it's the fruit by the Spirit in our life. The Spirit produces that in our life. I've got to learn to love. When people are mean to me, when people are just rotten to me, I've got to bear the fruit of the Spirit. How do I bear the fruit of the Spirit? Well, it's the labor of the Spirit on the inside of me. No, the fruit of the Spirit is of the Spirit, meaning that it's just like an apple. An apple tree produces apples. So that means not only is the Spirit going to produce love, how is the Spirit going to produce love? Because He is love. How is the Spirit going to produce joy in your life? Because He is joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit by the Spirit. How is He going to produce patience and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and temperance? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. Now think about that for a moment. Evidently, according to Scripture, I've got the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of me, and He is love. So already I've got enough, all the love that I need living in me. I've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of me, that power working on the inside of me. I have that on the inside of me, those rivers of living water coming out of my innermost part of my being. You have that on the inside of you. So evidently I already have all the love that I need on the inside of me. I already have joy on the inside of me. Why? Because the Spirit who is joy lives in me. I already have gentleness on the inside of me. Why? Because the Spirit, who is gentleness, lives on the inside of me. Out of your innermost being will flow. Out of your innermost being will flow. I'm telling you this morning, we have got to have a paradigm shift of our thinking to where we are constantly looking out here for what we need. What we need is on the inside of each one of us. Can you say amen? John said it this way. We looked at the scripture Wednesday night. John said this way, because of the anointing that's on the inside of you, you have no need that anyone teach you. Now, what John was not saying in 2 John was he was not saying that we don't need teachers. Because the body of Christ, we have teachers given to us by God to equip us for the work of the ministry, the Bible says. But what he was saying is that the anointing, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit in you, it's not a necessity. It's not a need that you have a teacher. Why? Because you have the greatest teacher living within you. Now, it doesn't say we do without teachers, because the Bible says that we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, think about what John just said, though. John said it is not a necessity. Now, remember about John. What happened in John's life? They tried to kill him. They tried to make him a martyr. Unsuccessful. Over and over and over again. So what they decided to do? They decided to take him and isolate him on an island. Remove his influence from people. And so they took him and they isolated him on an island. And you know what he wrote while he was isolated on an island? The book of Revelations. And it says that that John, on the Lord's day, was in the Spirit. So here's John isolated, with no one around him, completely isolated, and he writes the book of Revelation. Most of Paul's writings that we read come from him being isolated in prison. Here's the thing. We have, no matter where, in every situation, we have everything we need, or we're completely isolated, it looks like we're all cut off, we still have the greater one living on the inside of us in every one of those situations. And we therefore have no need. How can you have a need when you have the one who raised Christ from the dead dwelling in you? Paul said in every situation and in every circumstance, we're more than conquerors through Christ who lives in me. Come on, can you say amen? Living life on full instead of on empty. How do we live life on full? Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Now, number 7, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit by the Spirit. So if the Spirit of love lives on the inside of you, you have love. If the Spirit of joy lives on the inside of you, you have the joy. You have the peace. You have the patience, the kindness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Number 8, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. I'm going to wrap up this morning. Paul said, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of glory, his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Where is he going to strengthen you? On the inside of you. Can you say amen? How's he going to strengthen you? Through his Spirit. I'm telling you, we have to learn how to develop a relationship with the Spirit on the inside. We've got to learn how to talk to him. You know what I found? You know what I found? I found that he is gentle. What I mean by that is he's okay with me. He's okay with me turning on the news and watching the news. Or he's also okay if I turn it off and I talk to him. But he's not there going, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why won't the remote work? Why won't the TV turn on? Got to get new batteries. Well, it's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you not to turn TV on. No, he's gentle. I'm telling you, I found it's like in the morning I'll get up and I'll be honest. Tammy will tell you, I like to watch news. I mean, I like to know what's going on. I like to pay attention to the things that are out there. But I'll be going up there. I can't find the remote. I know how to turn the TV on just by reaching behind it. I know exactly where that button's at. My eyes can be closed and it can be dark. And as I'm reaching to turn that on, now you know what on the side of me? It's like if I turn that on, and I'm going to be fed that. If I don't turn that on, I get to commune with the Holy Spirit. But he's not like stubbing my toe on something right before I get there. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I won't turn it on now. Because you know what I found when it comes to God? It's not about him making you do anything. It's about you yielding and surrendering. Completely contrary than the evil spirits. Evil spirits want to control you. Evil spirits want to possess you. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. Come on, can you say amen? Through his Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. What was the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Is it the fruit by the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit? It's fruit of the Spirit. So if the Spirit is here, then the Spirit of love is here, right? That I might know the love of Christ that surpasses understanding or knowledge. Look at what the very next line says. That I, or you, or we, may be filled with all the fullness of God. That right there is absolutely crazy. Think about it. If you want to think about something surpassing your understanding, God loves you so much. God's love for you is so incredible that he wants to fill you with his fullness. Ah, man, the fullness of God, what would that be like? What would it be like to be full of the fullness of God? And a lot of times we get so caught up in the buys of God. We get so caught up in the buys of God. What do you mean with that? It's like, well, man, if I was full of the fullness of God, I could walk on not just water, I could walk on air. That's a byproduct of God. I could have words of wisdom. I could have all these. That's by God. The Bible says all those things will pass. All those things will pass, but there's three that will remain, and one of the most powerful ones that remain, it says love, faith, and hope. These three will remain, but the greatest of these is what? Love. To be full of all the fullness of God is to be full of all the of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. Now, let's be honest. The joy of God doesn't mean that there's never a tear on my cheek. Because Jesus was full of the fullness of God. And it says he wept and he cried and his heart was broken. When he found out about John, his heart was broken. It says he'd look at a city and he'd weep. His heart would be broken. To be full of the fullness of God means that I'm full of all that God is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. There's no law against these things. So that you may be full with all the fullness of God. Now to him is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think. Paul said there's only one way that you'll be filled with the fullness of God. You need to understand the love of Christ. You need to understand how much God loves you, how much he cares about you. I'm going to tell you this morning, if you want the Holy Spirit to fellowship with you, to talk to you, talk to him about love. Let's get up in the morning. Say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I want to fellowship and talk to you today about love. Teach me about the love of Christ. Teach me about the love of God. And I guarantee you, if you will be silent, close the other things off, maybe not turn the radio on in your car or you're driving, he'll begin to speak to you. You know why? Because it's just like when I come in there and I find JD with a plane in his hand. When I start talking to the Holy Spirit about love, he's like, wow, let me show you. Let me show you what love is. Because that's his thing. That's who he is. Show me about your joy. What is the joy of the Lord? And they'll start talking to you. This peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Tell me about that peace. And then listen. And he'll start talking. He said, Pastor, how does he talk? He communicates. Let me just say this to you. We'll look at this someday just real quick. We communicate by language, right? We have English language, different types of language, right? We have in this world, there's different types of languages, right? I mean, I know the English language, kinda. Okay? I could brush up on it, I guess. But like Spanish is like that? No. German? I'm German. You still know some German words? No. So, but there's different languages, even in the natural. And that's how we communicate. It's not any different in the spiritual realm. And it's not some weird thing in the spiritual realm. There's not just one language in the spiritual realm. Okay? Just like there's not one language in the natural realm. I've heard people pray in the Spirit. Paul said, I pray in the Spirit, I'll pray with my understanding. Two different things. I'll sing in the Spirit, I'll sing with my understanding. Two different things. I'll sing in the Spirit, I'll sing with my understanding. Two different things. I'll pray in the Spirit, and I'll pray with my understanding. Two different things. And you say, well, I've heard somebody else pray in the Spirit, and then I've heard somebody else pray in the Spirit, and they don't even sound the same. So that's weird. No, it's not weird. It's just like if I went somewhere else in the world, they would talk, and it would be completely different than the way we talk here. Okay? The Holy Spirit communicates to us. He speaks to us. There's a language. The Holy Spirit communicates to us. You say, how do you hear the Holy Spirit? Hear Him through your audible ears? There's times that God will speak to people audibly, but the way He speaks to you is your innermost being. He speaks to your spirit. That's why you need to get to know Him. You need to get to know Him so that when He speaks, you know it's Him talking to you. Now, it's the same as anything else. The more we know somebody, the more we're in tune with what He says. I guarantee you, I can be in a full room, and if I holler out son, a full room, and Elijah heard that in a full room, he would know my voice over anybody else. Come on, right? Because he knows. Don't tell me that. I'm watching that with my grandson. I see the look he looks at me when I say, hey, Landon. It's like, who are you again? Right? I think he always stares at my glasses. I don't know. He always has that look on his face for a while when I first start talking to him. Unlike, not kidding you not, I had another day and Mom just walked by. Yeah, it was like, I'm holding him. He saw Mom walk by and he like, and I'm like holding him. And he's like, and she goes, this is my life. And then we'll be there, and Elijah will get there after the game. And he'll come in, and Landon can be in your arms. He'll be sitting on the couch, he'll be sitting on the floor. And Elijah will say, hey, Landon. And he just, poof. He knows his daddy's voice. Come on. The more we communicate, the more we hear the Spirit's voice, the more we come in tune with it. The easier it is to hear. Can you say amen? But he's gentle. Notice again, it says now in verse 20, him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church, Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I give you two quotes at the bottom by Catherine Kuhlman. I love these two quotes. It says, God is not looking for gold vessels or silver vessels. He's looking for yielded vessels. I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy will try to put a barrier up of God using you and speaking to you. The enemy will try to put a barrier up against the love of God in your life. You're not worthy. You've done too many things wrong. You've done this. You've done that. God's not looking for the gold and silver vessels. He's looking for the yielded vessels. Can you say amen? And then that final quote, I just want to read it to you. She said, I surrendered unto him all there was of me, everything. I surrendered unto him all there was of me. Absolutely everything. Then for the first time I realized what it meant to have real power. That power on the inside of us. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. And God, we thank you for your goodness in our life. Father, what an incredible promise that you would not just live around us, but that you would live in us. So that, Father, everywhere we go, you're there. Every circumstance we face, Father, your Spirit is there. God, we need to learn to know the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, teach us. Introduce yourself to us. Talk to us. Develop that relationship with us. We want to be your friend. Father, we want to be the friend of your Spirit. To have that type of intimate relationship with him. If you hunger and thirst after that intimate, close relationship with the Spirit, I just want to encourage you this morning to do exactly what we just read, Miss Coleman did. Surrender everything to him. The Bible says he gives grace to the humble. Surrender everything to him. She said, when I surrendered everything to him, when I yielded everything to him, I realized such an incredible power was in my life. Some of your struggles are because you're trying to do it on your own. Some of your continual battles are because you're trying to accomplish it in your own strength. In fact, you're trying to do what the Holy Spirit's been sent to do in your life, and is to help your weakness. You're trying to merit my love. You're trying to earn it, to deserve it. You're trying to prove to me, says the Father, that you're a vessel worthy. But by my design, I've placed this treasure in vessels of clay. So that in my presence, no flesh would be able to say, look what I've done. Your desire is a good one, wanting to please me. But it's misdirected because you're trying to earn my love. And my love is free. It's unmerited. Some things you've experienced and the things that you've walked through have developed your way of thinking and mindset. And because of your experiences, that love that I have for you is filtered through all that you've gone through. But something new is going to happen on the inside of you. And I want to do a new thing within your life. And those things that you've experienced and that filter how you see my love are going to be changed where you see me in my purity. My desire is that you be rooted. That life and your nourishment and your growth comes from my love, because you're rooted in that love. Like a tree's roots going deep into the soil, your roots will be established in my love. You'll no longer need outward justification, outward expressions of love to complete you. You'll be rooted and grounded in the love that I have for you. A freedom that you've never experienced comes when you understand how much I love you. The weight of rejection, the weight of shame, the bondage of guilt is destroyed. When you see and understand how much I love you. So I encourage you this morning, don't struggle. Rest. Just rest in my love. Like a child rests in the arms of a parent. You're so much more valuable to me than your accomplishments. And all your failures have never disqualified you from me loving you. Don't struggle, but rest. Because what I'm going to do in your life and what I want to do in your life, you cannot earn. All you can do is receive. And all I ask is that you yield and surrender. Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand up with you this morning. God is so good. Amen. We love each and every one of you. I tell you what, don't forget Harvest Mill today. I pray that that spoke to somebody. I tell you, we can spend our whole life struggling, trying to earn what God wants to just give us, and we need to just rest in Him. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. We love each and every one of you.